This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Hi, this is Delphine Blue inviting you to join me every Tuesday night here on WBAI at 99.5 FM for Shocking Blue from 9 until 11 p.m. That's every Tuesday night right here on member-supported WBAI New York at 99.5 FM.
And lucky you who got to hear Shocking Blue with Delphine Blue on WBAI in New York City. And a big thank you to all of you who gave it up for Shocking Blue. Very important to support this struggling radio station, alternative institution in its perennial hour of need. And now it is 1 minute after midnight here in listener-supported non-commercial WBAI in New York City, which means that if all goes according to plan and I can get the machinery here to say uncle, say uncle, it's time for this. 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 Thank you. Moorish, Orthodox, Radio, Crusade, Anarchism for the Global City, Radical Environmentalism for the Concrete Jungle, Esoteric Explorations of the Secret History of Rebel Culture, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
उते उते कंडे उते कंडे उते उते कंडे उते खड़ियो मैनू तेरियां उंडिका कंडे उते 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 कंडे उते महर मावे मैं ते कदों दी खड़ी कंडे उते महर मावे मैं ते कदों दी खड़ी खड़ी वे कंडे उते महर मावे मैं ते कदों दी खड़ी कंडे उते महर मावे मैं ते कदों दी खड़ी खड़ी दिल विच शौक मिलन दा नेरी इश्क दी चढ़ी चढ़ी वे दिल विच शौक मिलन दा नेरी इश्क दी चढ़ी कंडे उत्ते महर मावे कंडे उत्ते महर मावे मैं ते कदों दी खड़ी खड़ी कंडे उत्ते उत्ते कंडे उत्ते 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 खड़ियो मैनू
Tere deed da chaa ਪੈ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਕੱਖ ਛੱਡਦਾ ਨੀ ਪੱਲੇ ਪੱਲੇ ਬਸ ਬਹੁਤ ਬੁਰੀ ਨੇਰੀ ਇਸ਼ਕ ਦੀ ਬਹੁਤ ਬੁਰੀ ਨੇਰੀ ਇਸ਼ਕ ਦੀ ਬਹੁਤ ਬੁਰੀ ਨੇਰੀ ਇਸ਼ਕ ਦੀ
Yeah. I cannot get enough of that cut. That is just as good as music gets, as far as I'm concerned. You just wish it would go on forever. It starts out great, and then it just keeps getting better and better and better and better throughout the whole 5 minutes of the cut. And every time you think, you know, it just can't get any better, it gets a little bit better. And then when it ends, oh, it's just so sad when it ends, because you just wish it would keep going and going and going and going forever. What a tease when it ends. I'm going to have to play that cut later again, I think. Definitely the best cut on the record, on the album, on the disc, whatever they call them these days. Delving into more music that I picked up at the Diwali Festival in Jackson Heights for Sunday Before Last. This is not Bhangra. This is an album entitled Terry Sajni. 14 of the biggest Sufi hits with an exclamation point. I don't know what Terry Sajni means. These artists are mostly Pakistani. I surmise that they are mostly singing in Urdu or perhaps Punjabi. Perhaps there's anybody out there who understands Urdu or Punjabi that can call in later and tell us what they're singing about. That was by far the best cut on the on the disc that we opened with. Much of the other stuff is also quite good, and we'll be delving into it. A lot of it is a little bit more on the overproduced and mellow side, actually. That is definitely the most authentic and edgy of the lot. And that is, of course, Rahat Fateh Ali Khan, who is the nephew of the late great Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. Qawwali vocal master and Sufi. Someone who long-time listeners of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade will be familiar with. Got to check out more of his nephew, Rahat, who is definitely carrying on the tradition in grand style. So, once again, glad I picked up some good music and some good cultural tips at the Diwali Festival, Diwali Mela, out in Jackson Heights 2 weeks ago. Since now you can't actually, you know, buy CDs in record stores anymore, since there aren't any left in the city virtually. They're practically all gone. And pretty soon there aren't going to be any bookstores. And pretty soon there aren't going to be any coffee shops except for Starbucks. And then, you know, it's going to be the perfect bait and switch, right? Because, you know, once Starbucks and Barnes & Noble have forced all of the independent bookstores and coffee shops out of business, then they themselves are going to take the money and run. And then there aren't going to be any bookstores or coffee shops left in New York City at all. And you can already see that happening. For instance, 10 years ago, there was a bookstore on 8th Street, St. Mark's Place, between Astor Place and Broadway. And then it was, I believe it was, what was it called? It was called something like Astor Books, wasn't it? And then directly across the street from it, that big, gigantic, humongous Barnes & Noble opened up. And, of course, the independent bookstore was forced out of business within a year. And then Barnes & Noble was on that block for several years, and now it's closed as well. So now there's no bookstore at all on that block. Okay, so that's the way it's going, you know. I mean, similarly, Tower Records forced many of the, independent record stores out of business, and now it's gone, right? So pretty soon, everything is going to be on the internet, and there isn't going to be anything left in the real world anymore. And, you know, it's like I was ranting about the subways last week, where, you know, There isn't going to be any human beings in what I call the token booths, which is kind of like my parents calling the refrigerator an icebox, I suppose. And, you know, 20 years from now, it's going to be completely automated trains run by robots, taking robots to work. So we're actually seeing the human race relegated to mere redundancy, as they put it in Europe. And there isn't going to be anything left at all which is real and human and gritty and authentic. Which brings me to the inevitable point of why you've all got to support WBAI. Listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. Because it's one of the last counter-fortresses, so to speak. Okay? And basically, all of human society today, especially in America and especially in New York City, is this big vortex which is just spinning down into, you know, cultural death and totalitarianism and sterility. But there are a few counter vortexes, whatever the plural of vortex is, which are generating a little bit of current in the other direction towards cultural fecundity and authenticity and participation and democracy and humanity, as opposed to, you know, the rule of the robots. Just a few of these counter vortexes are left. And BAI is probably the most significant one in New York City, which is, of course, the most significant city in the world, the most significant place on earth, which we are privileged and cursed to live in. So, once again, it's use it or lose it time. It's time to support WBAI. Now, here is the here's the deal. It's now 15 after the hour. I've been informed that we're supposed to pitch every 15 minutes, so that's what I'm doing. I'm pitching. But here's the deal. You know, I just want to make $1,000 tonight. That's the minimum I want to make to be able to go home satisfied, knowing that I did my part to keep WBAI on the air, to keep this counter vortex alive, and to, you know, contribute to the counter centrifugal forces out there, which are providing some degree of resistance in the general decline of our culture. and, you know, sent a message to, send a message to the powers that be, you know, in the, it looks like, you know, I certainly hope that Bloomberg isn't going to be reelected in New York City, but, if he is, it's going to be, really, really important to have WBAI to continue fighting back against him. And of course, even if Thompson is elected, we're still going to need BAI to keep fighting back against him as well, right? But, you know, we hope that we're going to have the opportunity to fight back against Thompson, who perhaps would be a less formidable opponent, you know. But in any event, we're going to need WBAI to keep fighting back. And, you know, there is a certain sense that WBAI is back from the brink. But I would say that we're only tentatively back from the brink. And if we don't continue to do really well on our fund drives, and if all of you don't, you know, all of you listeners who aren't members yet don't actually call in and become members and then actually pay your pledge, well, you know, we aren't that far back from the brink. We're maybe just a few feet back from the brink. And with a healthy shove in the wrong direction, we could once again be back at the brink or over it. And you don't want that to happen, okay? Believe me, you really don't want that to happen. You never miss your water till the well runs dry, right? You don't know what you got till it's gone. So here's the deal. All right, send a message. Also, by the way, I understand I need to nail this one down, okay, because I'm still not sure. Maybe somebody can tell me, am I preempted next week? I don't know. Nobody tells me anything. But I understand that I might be preempted next week because all of the overnight programming is going to be preempted next week so that management can, you know, has taken the decision to actually rebroadcast programming from the daylight hours. So we need to send a message to management that we support the overnight freeform programmers here at WBAI. Once again, it's a question of use it or lose it, folks. Now, I support very, very strongly all of the public affairs and advocacy programming which goes on here at WBAI. But that is not the genre which WBAI invented. The genre which WBAI invented is the late night freeform programming. That is, you know, what that is the genre which WBAI can really claim to have in, to not only have pioneered, but actually invented. It is a creation of this radio station. And I feel that it's, you know, it's worthwhile. There needs to be, this is a part of the whole counter-centrifugal tendency that I'm talking about. There needs to be one place on the airwaves where we can get loose and funky and kind of extemporize and make it up as we go along and let it all hang out, warts and all, and not only, you know, expound a dogma in the megaphone style of radio, as it were, but actually have a conversation with the listeners. And that does not necessarily mean taking listener phone calls, by the way. I don't mean it necessarily in a narrow and literal sense, although we're going to get to the subject of listener phone calls shortly. but have a conversation with the listener and explore issues and grapple with complexities and really get into the nuances of the discussion, which you can only do when you've got 90 minutes to spread out after midnight and there isn't all of this, you know, pressure to squeeze every minute with, you know, the correct political line, as it were, right? So there needs to be a place at WBAI for this sort of thing, because WBAI invented it. We pioneered it, and we invented it. And it would really be a shame if it was lost. And it would be a bigger shame still if WBAI was lost. And it would be a bigger shame still if Pacifica was lost, because if WBAI goes down, it could take the whole network with it. Or, contrary-wise, you know, the Pacifica National management could decide that the WBAI is just hemorrhaging money from the network, and in order to save the network, they're going to have to divest BAI. Now, we don't want to see any of these nightmare scenarios come true, And I'm not just, this isn't just, you know, Chicken Little running around saying the sky is falling, okay? These are all very, very real possibilities. We live in an age of, you know, radical media contraction, as we all know, right? Where newspapers are dropping like flies from coast to coast. The only reason the New York Times is still around is because it was bailed out by Carlos Slim, the richest man in Mexico. You know, more and more publications are now only available online, haven't got a print edition anymore. So, you know, BAI is subject to the same economic forces, quite obviously. Now, I'm going to have some things to say about BAI later tonight. But first, I'm going to, here's the deal. Here's the deal. All right, it's now 20 minutes after the hour being midnight, so it's 20 after midnight. And here's the deal. I want to make $1,000. And the number is 212-209-2950. By the way, when I say I want to make $1,000, of course what I mean is I want to make $1,000 for WBAI. I'm not seeing a penny of it. Everything I do here is a labor of love, and I don't get paid for what I do. In fact, on the contrary, I have done exactly what I'm calling upon the listeners to do. I make my annual donation to WBAI. So I actually pay money to be on the air. So you should pay money to hear me on the air if you appreciate what I do and what WBAI in general does. So the number is 212-209-2950. Some of you who are listening to my voice right now are already members. If you're already a member, if you're already a paid-up member, well, you're off the hook. You don't have to pledge any more money unless you really want to. But some of you out there who are listening to my voice are not members. And I'm appealing to you tonight to become members and to keep this place alive. Get your right to vote for the LSB, the local station board, or is it the listener station board? I can't remember the nomenclature, but you get your right to participate in the unfolding democratic process here at WBAI and to participate in the in the elections for the station board and to participate in the democratic renewal of the Pacifica Network, which has been an extremely contentious and, quite frankly, ugly affair. But I've always maintained, and I maintain now more than ever, that the most important thing that the democratic process at Pacifica needs in order to be successful is new blood, new people getting involved, people who are not a part of the two ossified factions which have been tearing WBAI apart for the past several years. We need new people with new ideas and you know, new fresh faces and new blood, and that means you. Get involved. Instead of just complaining about, you know, what a bunch of old cranks we are and how all these, you know, crusty old leftists can't get along with each other, instead of just complaining about it, get involved. Call 212-209-2950 and make a minimum pledge of $25 and become a member. Now, there are a bunch of premiums which we're offering, and I'm going to have something to say. I'm going to read through the rather lengthy list of premiums which we're offering for those of you who want to pledge more than $25. There's a whole bunch of premiums which are being offered for anywhere from, here, I'll read the basic premiums. If you want to pledge just a little bit more than $25, if you want to just pledge $35, you get the WBAI t-shirt, which was designed by our dear old uncle Sidney Smith, which is purple with a flaming winged heart, which is the Sufi symbol. And very, very appropriate for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, even though Sidney did not design it with us in mind. It was just synchronicity that he chose that symbol. So I say that's the perfect shirt for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. I wear it with pride, and you should too. For a pledge of $35, you can get that shirt as well as becoming a member of WBAI. So do that. Just if you can afford the $35, and you know, I think that most of you can afford the $35. If you actually think about all the money that you spend on things that you don't really need, beer, cigarettes, Hollywood schlock at the movies, you know, you ride a taxi at least a couple of times a year, you go somewhere in a taxi, right? That's $35 right there. You don't even think about it. So I think that most of you can afford $35 and get this wonderful T-shirt, and you can show the world how you feel about WBAI and get your right to vote in the WBAI elections and help keep WBAI alive at 212-209-2950. The volunteers are standing by now to take your phone calls, so please give them something to do back there, 212-209-2950. But here's the deal. Okay, I keep putting it off. Another 5 minutes have gone by. Now it's 12:25. Here's the deal. Okay, the deal is, I know a lot of you feel that I have a responsibility to take listener phone calls, and, well, I disagree, and in fact, I'm going to point out that a lot of my listeners, communicate to me by leaving messages on my voicemail or sending me email or actually writing me a letter here at the station. And they say, Bill, please don't take listener phone calls. It's a waste of time. We want to hear you, not the listeners. Okay. So all of you people who insist that I have a responsibility to take listener phone calls, well, that's your opinion. There are other people who have another opinion. Okay. And your opinion is not necessarily worth any more than theirs. However, I am actually committed to taking listener phone calls, at least from time to time. Not necessarily on every show, but at least from time to time. And it's been a while since I have. In fact, I'm not sure that I have since I've been back from South America. Have I? I think perhaps I haven't, actually. So I'll tell you what. We now have just about a half an hour to go. If over the course of the next half hour we reach $1,000, then for the last half hour, I'll take listener phone calls. So, over the course of the next half hour, I want, let's see, how many times does 25 go into 1,000? Let's see, 25 goes into 100 four times, and 100 goes into 1,000 10 times, so that makes 40, doesn't it? Okay, we want 40 people calling in and pledging $25 each over the course of the next half hour. Forget about the premiums. I'll be talking about the premiums over the course of the next half hour. In fact, I'm going to do a little bit of a rant about the premiums because I am sort of a premium dissident, shall we say. So that's what I'm going to be talking about for the next half hour, about the premiums. So while I'm talking about the premiums, if any of the premiums appeal to you, you can, you know, call in and pledge for one of the premiums. But what I'm appealing to you to do at a minimum, 40 of you, okay? Now, that means you, okay? 40 is a lot, okay? So that means you. It doesn't mean some other guy out there. It means you, okay? Y-O-U. Look in the mirror, okay? Get up, go to the mirror, look in the mirror. That's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to you. If you're not already a member of WBAI, then call 212-209-2950. Once again, 212-209-2950 and pledge the minimum $25 to become a member or the $35 to become a member plus, you know, you get the groovy T-shirt. I want 40 of you to do that over the course of the next half hour, which will bring us to $1,000. And then we'll spend the next half hour taking your listener phone calls at 212-209-2900. Okay, so if enough of you call 212-209-2950 over the next half hour, then for the last half hour, we'll take your listener phone calls at 212-209-2900, and we'll talk about BAI, because I'm going to have a lot of things to say about WBAI over the course of the next half hour. But first, I've got to go get some water, and we're going to hear some more Sufi music. Here, let's play my second favorite cut. Also, pretty authentic. A wonderful, wonderful vocal performance by a Pakistani artist by the name of Reshma. Let's give that a listen while all of you out there are calling 212-209-2950 and pledging your $25 to become a member of WBAI. By the way, did I mention this is WBAI? This is WBAI, listener-supported non-commercial, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. My name is Bill Weinberg. This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. And when we say that it's listener-supported and non-commercial, that means that there aren't any commercials on this station because it's listener-supported. And that means that you, the listener, have got to support it, or else it does not remain non-commercial. And in fact, this is what I'm going to be talking about over the course of the next half hour. So please do your part, put your shoulder to the wheel, shell out that $25 or $35, 40 of you. Keep them busy back there. I want to hear those phones ringing, you know, because that means we only have 30 minutes for 40 calls. That means more than a call a minute, right? That means more than one call per minute. That means what? 1.5 calls per minute or something like that, right? So those phones have just got to be ringing and ringing and ringing. So come on, get busy. I'm serious. This is not a joke. Let's go. Okay. Stand by.
Bye. right.
No. Excuse me. Okay, that was Lumbi Judai by Reshma. I love that mandolin that comes in there at the end. It's not a mandolin. It's the last thing you would expect, but it really works. From her Wikipedia page, Reshma is a renowned folk singer from Pakistan who is popular in India, too. She was born in Rajasthan to a gypsy family in 1947. Her family moved to Pakistan during the partition of India. She does not have any training in classical music. Her most famous song is Lumbi Judai, which we just heard, which was sung for the Bollywood film Hero. Based in Lahore, where some really, really terrible things have recently happened, if you've been following the news, she is an advocate of good relations between India and Pakistan. She traveled in the first bus from Lahore to Amritsar. She was discovered by the director, Subhash Ghai, of the Hindi movie Hero, when he heard her singing at a function in her village. Although she couldn't speak Hindi properly, the director helped her sing the song by singing in front of her and teaching her the words phonetically. So once again, I wonder if she's singing in Urdu or Punjabi, one or the other. Well, if we can get through, if we can make it up to $1,000 in the next now 20 minutes, maybe we'll take phone calls and somebody out there can tell us if she's singing in Urdu or Punjabi and what she's singing about. We're at $70, so that's a start. 212-209-2950. Let's see. In January 2006, Reshma was one of the passengers on the inaugural Lahore Amritsar bus, the first such service linking both parts of the Punjab since the partition of India in 1947. The bus had 26 passengers in total, of whom 15 were Pakistani officials. Reshma had booked 7 seats for herself and her family. Reshma is a vegetarian. So, a woman after our own hearts here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. I'm going to have to look for more of her music as well as more of Rahat Fateh Ali Khan's music, because they both sound really, really good. All right, now maybe we'll have time to delve into a little bit more of this disc. I'd like to play the title cut, Sajni. Don't know what it means, but it's a pretty good cut by an artist by the name of Master Salim. But first I have some ranting to do, and we have to get the tally up to $1,000. And right now it's only at 70, so all of you people out there who are not members of WBAI, well, now's your big opportunity to become a member of WBAI, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Keep this place alive, keep this place on the air, and send a message to management that you appreciate late night, overnight free-form programming, because it seems to me that it's being devalued around here. And it is, the form which is most unique and most distinct to WBAI, and once again, the form which was created and pioneered by WBAI. Now, let's talk about the premiums. I have two things to do to get off my chest, so to speak, in terms of providing content tonight. And one of them is to talk about the premiums. Because, frankly, I am, as I said at the top, I'm a little bit of a... still just the tail end of this cold. I'm a little bit of a premium dissident. And I'm a premium dissident on two levels. The first level is the mere, hard sell of the premiums themselves represents a form of creeping commercialization at here at WBAI. And it runs contrary to the spirit and founding doctrine of the Pacifica Network. Okay? We're supposed to be supporting WBAI because we're listeners of WBAI and it's listener-supported radio, right? Not because, you're going to get this groovy premium, okay? That's commercialism. That's supposed to be what we represent an alternative to, okay? So, and when the whole focus of the fund drives is on the premium, it's totally premium centric, and it's all, you know, this big hard sell and constant pitching of the premium. You know, it's like it's capitalism is creeping in the back door at an ostensibly, you know, non-capitalist institution. And I will note, by the way, that in terms of the whole premium-centric attitude towards fundraising, it's a case of meet the new boss, same as the old boss. This is something which has survived the regime change here at WBAI. And just as I was a sort of a premium dissident under the old regime, it looks like I'm going to continue to be a premium dissident under the new regime, because they are continuing this whole tactic of, you know, of making the premium the thing in the fundraising drive, as opposed to emphasizing the programming. All right. So that's the first that's the first sense in which I'm a premium dissident. The second sense in which I'm a premium dissident is that the many of the premiums that we offer, not all of them, but many of them, I frankly object to. I think that they're a bit of an embarrassment, quite frankly. So I'm going to go over some of the premiums which are available. For those of you who want to pledge a little bit more and, you know, jack that tally up, because it still stands at $70, which is god-awful, okay? It really is. That's just terrible. Here we are at, now usually, you know, we do best in the last 45 minutes, and we're exactly at the halfway point now, so maybe things are going to pick up. But, you know, $70 at a quarter to one is very, very bad, very, very disconcerting. So, once again, there we go, $170. It just jumped up to $170. That's much better, actually. But still, we're nowhere near $1,000. So, once again, even though I'm going to be, you know, reading through the list of premiums which are available for those of you who want to shell out $100 or more, I, meanwhile, am going to appeal to you to support WBAI and the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade merely on the strength of the programming, and rather than just, you know, a few of you calling in, and, you know, instead of 10 of you calling in and pledging $100 each to get some premium, I would rather have 40 of you calling in and pledging $25 each not to get a premium, simply to support WBAI because you want it to stick around. You want it to be here because it's listener-supported radio, and you understand that without the listeners supporting it, there is no such thing as listener-supported radio, right? And, you know, we might as well just be commercial radio. So, all right, I'm going to talk about the premiums, but meanwhile, as I'm talking about the premiums, I want those of you who just want to pledge $25 to call 212-209-2950 and pledge that $25. Not to get any premium, but just because it's listener-supported radio, and that's how it survives. You've got to do your part, just like I do my part, just like I bicycle down here from NoHo every Tuesday night, rain or shine, and don't get a penny for it. I do it because, you know, I've got to do my part. You've got to do your part. Call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge of $25 to keep free speech radio alive, because that's how it works, okay? And I'll have more to say about that later. But, all right, let me not procrastinate any further, and let me immediately jump into the premium situation. For those of you who actually do, let's keep those calls coming, 212-209-2950 at $25 a pop. But for those of you who feel that you want to spend more money and get a token of appreciation, okay, here are the premiums. The first premium, which is on the list, is a DVD entitled Rethink Afghanistan, the latest film from Robert Greenwald and Brave New Films, takes a look at the intricacies of the geopolitical and financial implications of the war in Afghanistan. We hear from journalists and experts in the region and abroad, including Tariq Ali and Sonali Kolhatkar of the Afghan Women's Mission. All right, now I've actually been in touch with Sonali Kolhatkar via email recently. She's associated with the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan, as well as the Afghan Women's Mission. And they're exactly the kind of voice which I feel that the anti-war movement needs to be bringing to the fore on the question of Afghanistan. So I applaud, I haven't seen the DVD, but I applaud the producers of the DVD Rethink Afghanistan for including a representative of the Afghan Women's Mission among the voices who they interview, instead of, you know, just going to the usual left-wing talking heads. So I think that's good. That's good. I support, although I haven't seen the DVD, it looks like it's pretty good. For a pledge of $120, you can get the DVD Rethink Afghanistan, and I applaud the producers for including the voice of Sonali Kolhatkar of the Afghan Women's Mission and the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan. Once again, for a pledge of $120, you can get the DVD Rethink Afghanistan. That one sounds pretty good. Okay, moving right along, I see that we're up to $240, so this isn't going to be a total disaster tonight, perhaps just a moderate disaster. But still, I want to get it up to $1,000. I don't think we're going to get up to $1,000 in the next 10 minutes, so we're not going to take listener phone calls for the last half hour, but maybe we'll take listener phone calls for the last 15 minutes if we can really get it up to $1,000 in the next 20 minutes. How about it, guys? 212-209-2950. The heroic volunteers who are giving of their time and labor tonight are standing by to take your call. Make them happy. Give them a call. 212-209-2950. Moving along with the premiums, the next one is entitled Searching for Whitetopia, An Improbable Journey into the Heart of White America. This is a book. With the rapid browning of America, white flight from urban areas has built a new momentum. Well, is that true? I don't know. White flight was a phenomenon of the 1970s, and now the urban core is being recolonized by white suburbanites, by the offspring of the people who fled, a generation ago. So it seems to me, anyway. Around the country, largely white enclaves are cropping up in an attempt to return to suppressed 1950s-era values. Well, that's true, certainly. The whole phenomenon of, gated communities under metaphorical plastic bubbles isolated from the swarthy hordes is certainly a very, very disturbing reality in America. And I predict, of course, just like one day there's going to be, robots taking robots to work on the subway, one day in the not-too-distant future, those gated communities are going to be under real plastic bubbles, without a doubt, if things keep going the way they're going. So this book does appear to be grappling with something that needs to be grappled with. Journalist Rich Benjamin spent 6 weeks exploring this phenomenon by living in and among these communities. He reports his findings in this book. So once again, if you want a copy of Searching for Whitetopia, make a pledge of I'm not seeing. I guess that's also $120. I'm not seeing the price, but I guess that's also $120. Another book, Teaching What Really Happened. Author James W. Lowen follows his important effort, Lies My Teacher Told Me, with Teaching What Really Happened, which is not only a critique of how American studies, how American students are taught history, but also a masterful guide for teachers on methods of correcting the damage done by the propaganda which passes for history. Okay, that sounds worthwhile. Make a pledge of $120 and get Teaching What Really Happened by James W. Lowen. Next, the Wattstacks 30th Anniversary Edition. Wattstacks was a dynamic concert film of the, is a dynamic concert film of the 1972 Los Angeles event attended by over 100,000 concertgoers and was first billed as the Black Woodstock, with great performances by the likes of Isaac Hayes, the Staple Singers, Albert King, and many others, including special guest star Richard Pryor. The film forays into the neighborhood Into the Neighborhood are, the films, somebody left out the apostrophe, the film's forays into the neighborhood are a time capsule of pride and pain. And the running commentary by Richard Pryor are a treasure unto themselves. Commentary is singular. Should be running commentary by Richard Pryor is a treasure unto itself. But that sounds good. That sounds worth $100 that you would pay to get Wattstack's 30th anniversary edition. That sounds quite worthwhile. So once again, for a pledge of $100, you can get, I suppose that's a DVD. No, it's a 3-CD set. I guess there's a DVD and the DVD is $100. There you go. The DVD, the Wattstack's 30th anniversary edition is $100. The 3-CD set for the Wattstack's concert is $75. So either one or both. $100 for the DVD with the concert footage, or $75 for the CD with the music, by calling 212-209-2950. Okay, there was nothing yet that I object to. All sounds pretty good so far. Choosing your future. Don't worry, we're gonna get the stuff I object to. I promise. Choosing Your Future, 6-CD set. Les Brown, renowned speaker, author, radio, and TV personality, brings his brand of stop making excuses and get out there and do it motivational material to us. Les speaks from a place where real people live. His humble beginnings and down-home, real-world upbringing make him appealing across various demographics. Well, not my cup of tea necessarily, but I certainly support the idea that people should stop making excuses and get out there and do it right now. Call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge to WBAI. And for just a pledge of $150, you can get the 6-CD set of renowned motivational speaker Les Brown talking about choosing your future. Okay, now we move on from the merely not my cup of tea to the stuff which I just flat out object to as an embarrassment, as an absolute, you know, embarrassment. I mean, just like egg on our face for offering this garbage. Okay? Sorry, you don't like it, management? Yank me from the air, okay? Loose change, 9/11, an American coup. The only thing which can be said in defense of offering this is, okay, you know, let's get the debate out in the open. Let's let 100 flowers bloom. Everybody's entitled to a point of view. Everybody's entitled to, you know, their soapbox. Let's get the debate out in the open. But unfortunately, you know, it's being pitched in this way. Oh, you know, this is what's offering you the truth. And it's just a few of, you know, it's very funny that the 9/11 truthies, so-called, call themselves 9/11 dissidents. When certainly here at WBAI, and perhaps in society at large, they've got the majority position. And those of us who actually have a rational analysis of what happened on September 11, 2001, we're the ones who were in the minority. Okay, quite obviously, we are the dissidents. You know, those of us who actually have a distanced, rational, detached analysis of what happened on 9/11, we are the dissidents. Right? And, you know, you people who are out there, you know, jumping up and down about how plastic explosives brought down the towers and it was an inside job and blah, blah, blah. You're the majority position, okay? You're not the dissidents. We are the dissidents. Loose change, 9/11, an American coup, narrated by Daniel Sunjata of FX's Rescue Me. I'm so out of touch with pop culture, I don't even know what that means. And an outspoken advocate for the first responders, Loose Change 9/11, an American coup, first examines mysterious and infamous events that shaped world history, from the Reichstag fire in 1933 that catapulted Hitler to dictatorship, to the Gulf of Tonkin incident in 1964 that led to the Vietnam War, and then takes viewers on a turbulent journey through several pivotal moments in history before delving into the most significant catastrophe in recent memory, 9/11. Well, look, you know, I hate to tell you, but just because the Nazis burned down the Reichstag fire does not mean that the CIA blew up the World Trade Center. Okay, that's just an... It's not a... This is not a logical leap, okay? All right, that's an absolute ridiculous leap of logic. It's not a, you know, a therefore, you know, an ipso facto, you know, situation, right? And but much, much, much more to the point than that is, you know, it's quite possible that the Nazis were right and that it really was just, you know, this lone communist nut called Marinus van der Lubbe who burned down the Reichstag fire, just like it was a lone anarchist nut named Leon Czolgosz who assassinated McKinley. It really is possible. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't mean that Nazism was any less evil if the Nazis didn't burn down the Reichstag. You know, and similarly, it doesn't make, you know, the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan any less wrong if Bush wasn't responsible for bringing down the World Trade Center. You know, I mean, it's an embarrassment that we're offering this. I'm sorry. It really is. You want to have the debate? We can have the debate. Maybe some other time we'll take listener phone calls and have the debate. But to me, it's a legitimate question. What was the degree and nature of complicity between, you know, elements of the intelligence services in this country and the 9/11 conspirators? That's a legitimate question, and it's one which historians are going to be arguing for centuries, okay? Generations at least, maybe centuries, if we're lucky enough to survive that long, we meaning the human species. Just like historians today are still arguing about who blew up the battleship Maine, just like they're still arguing about who burned down the Reichstag, just like they're still arguing about who killed JFK, we're never going to know. We're never going to know. I mean, it's an interesting question, and it's one which deserves a certain degree of scrutiny. But to try to, you know, hijack the all of the energy of the, you know, progressive movement and make it, you know, the whole focus of the anti-war struggle and WBAI and so on is just really, really wrongheaded. And it's just, you know, moving. It's a vortex. You know, that's what it is. To get back to that analogy, it's a vortex. It's a black hole. It's moving all of our energy down into a complete waste of our time and resources. So I'm opposed to it. But still, if you want that DVD, you can get it. Once again, in the spirit of Let 100 Flowers Bloom, by all means, you know, you want to expose yourself to this propaganda? Fine. Go ahead. You're entitled to do so. For a pledge of $100, you can get Loose Change 9/11 America Coup d'Etat, 100% pure, unadulterated snake oil. Take it from me, Bill Weinberg. It's 1 o'clock in the morning on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI, 99.5 FM here in New York City. The tally stands at 275 smackaroos. Totally unacceptable. Please call 212-209-2950. And make a pledge of $100 to get Loose Change 9/11 an American coup d'etat if you want to be entertained by some complete snake oil nonsense, which, you know, people trying to fleece you for your money. But it's your business. Let's keep going. Deflating the Elephant, the Framed Messages Behind Conservative Dialogue, DVD. This film teaches us how language affects our lives and, more significantly, our political discourse. Language is influenced by what is known as framing, meaning every word is connected to a concept. How these concepts are used and repeated have shaped our ideology, behavior, and thought processes. Featuring George Lakoff, author of Moral Politics, What Conservatives Know and Liberals Don't, and Don't Think of an Elephant, Know Your Values and Frame the Debate, a professor of cognitive linguistics at the University of California, Berkeley, who dissects the conservative dialogue and provides explanations and examples of how they have spent the last 35 years perfecting their ideas and their language. Okay, that sounds interesting. That sounds legitimate. I'll buy that. Okay, that can be yours for a pledge of $85. Get the DVD, Deflating the Elephant, the Framed Messages Behind Conservative Dialogue. $85 can be yours for a pledge of $85 DVD. Call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Another DVD, Crude Impact. It took hundreds of years, hundreds of millions of years for petroleum to form on Earth. It took just 150 years for human beings to bleed the planet of roughly half of its oil. Arresting in its honesty and erudition, Crude Impact examines the catastrophic prospect of world peak oil, or the point in time when the quantity of petroleum extracted from the earth begins to irreversibly decline. The film illuminates a vicious cycle of escalating dependency and need, as well as the behaviors and patterns fueling the cycle, such as consumer fetishism and the myth of endless supply, the tremendous rise in population and demands of many more quickly industrializing nations. And there we go. Okay. Well, this is certainly more legitimate than the 9/11 conspiranoia. It isn't total snake oil, but I think that the whole peak oil debate has been overblown. I mean, certainly we are going to reach peak oil at some point, but I don't think anybody has any idea whether we're really there or not. And again, it's kind of sidetracking the debate because there are, apart from the eventuality that we're going to run out, there are many, many more pressing reasons for us to, you know, convert from the fossil fuel economy, including, you know, first and foremost, the fact that it's destroying the earth. I mean, you know, us being at peak oil is a best case scenario, because if we have enough to, you know, keep on burning oil for another century, the planet has had it, right? So the peak oil debate is a little bit off base, I believe. But nonetheless, you know, let 100 flowers bloom. Check it out. Crude Impact DVD can be yours for a pledge of $125, 212-209-2950. The tally still stands at $275, which means that it hasn't moved since the last time I said that it stands at $275. So come on, people. I know that you're all just enthralled by the sound of my voice, but you know, it's really important that you keep the calls coming. Now, if you don't want to pledge for any of these premiums, then please pledge 212-209-2950, pledge $25 to become a member of WBAI at a minimum. At once again, 212-209-2950. Okay, another DVD, Burning the Future. Coal provides half of America's electricity, but at what cost? Burning the Future, Coal in America examines the explosive forces that have set in motion a groundswell of conflict between the coal industry and residents of West Virginia. Faced with toxic groundwater, the obliteration of 1.4 million acres of mountains, and a government that appeases industry, ordinary citizens launch a valiant fight to arouse the nation's help in protecting their mountains, saving their families, and preserving their way of life. Burning the Future exposes the truth behind mountaintop coal extraction and offers tools for everyone to carve out a cleaner future. Okay, now that's the kind of thing which I wish WBAI was offering more of. That sounds totally legitimate. That one I can support without reservation, although I haven't seen it. It sounds really good. So, for a pledge of $125, you can get a copy of the DVD, Burning the Future, Coal in America. Call now, 212-209-2950. Let's see, what do we got next? A Delicate Balance, DVD. A Delicate Balance documents the latest discoveries some of the prominent experts on nutrition in the world. Over 50 years of research is skillfully woven into blah, blah, blah. Okay, here we start getting into, you know, these aren't really divided by category, unfortunately, but there's going to be a whole cluster, this being the first of health stuff. Having not watched it, I can't really judge how legitimate it is, but I will say that much of the health programming on WBAI sometimes strikes me as a tad dubious, I have to confess. Still, if you want A Delicate Balance, it can be yours for a pledge of $85. Okay, next, American Casino DVD. This film finally explains how and why over $12 trillion of our money vanished into the American casino. For chips, the casino used real people, like the ones we meet in Baltimore. In the film, I suppose. These are not the heedless spendthrifts of Wall Street legend, but a high school teacher, a therapist, a minister of the church. They are sold the American dream as a safe investment, etc., etc. Yeah, we all know. We got played, didn't we? $100, that can be yours. American Casino DVD. Okay, now we start getting into real high weirdness. Kymatica, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, K-Y-M-A-T-I-C-A, Kymatica. Kymatica attempts to explore the root causes of corruption, deceit, evil, and war in our world since the dawn of man. The film explores the most esoteric and suppressed information about our history, anatomy, and spirituality, Beginning with the creation of our planet and how our Earth gave life to all its inhabitants, Chymatica takes you step by step through the close relationships we have with our Mother Earth, how a psychological disease has turned man against nature. The creator of the film, Ben Stewart, a bright young philosopher, uncovers the egoistic agenda of political and religious institutions and how they purposely distort the true meaning of spirituality and governance. Chymatica. $75, it can be yours, whatever the hell it is. Okay, now we go further out into the outer rings of high weirdness. The Esoteric Agenda DVD. Is there an esoteric agenda behind every facet of life and what was once believed to be disconnected? The film Esoteric Agenda shows that there is an elite faction, elite with a capital E, guiding most every political, economic, social, corporate, and some non-governmental and even anti-establishment organizations. Uh-oh. I knew it. WBAI is a tool of the conspiracy. Don't support WBAI. It's a tool of the esoteric conspiracy. Don't call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge. This film uses the hard work and research of professionals in every field, helping to expose this agenda and put the future of this planet back in the hands of its people. Well, this sounds like absolute snake oil, but if you want to be entertained by the esoteric agenda, please, please shell out your $75 and get a copy. 212-209-2950. Eating right for cancer survival. Okay, I guess, sure. $100, that can be yours. The Cancer Survivor's Guide, Foods That Help You Fight Back. DVD, $75. Food Matters DVD. I certainly agree that food matters. $100. Okay, then we start getting into some of the stuff that, quite frankly, sounds a little bit dubious to me. I mean, if it comes with a disclaimer, you know, that kind of makes you wonder. This is a book, or is it a DVD? It says both. Maybe it's both. The Magnesium Miracle. More than 75 years ago, medical scientists declared magnesium to be an essential nutrient indispensable to life. When this mineral is a part of your diet, you are guarding against and helping to alleviate health threats such as heart disease, stroke, etc., etc. Warning, please conduct your own further research and fully inform your physician of your intention to alter your magnesium intake. Okay, I don't know. To me, if it's got a disclaimer, that kind of makes me wonder. But nonetheless, I mean, it's kind of the same snake oil which the pharmaceutical industry is selling us on TV every night. You know, always comes with these disclaimers which make you wonder. So, I don't know. When it's coming from, you know, the new age industry, as it were, if it's got a disclaimer, it also makes me wonder. Well, how do you like that? We're at $435, which means that we're almost halfway to 1,000. Maybe we actually can take listener phone calls for the last 15 minutes. Keep those calls coming. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Let's see. The Magnesium Miracle. Get the book, the DVD, or the two CD set. And then there's Essence of Life Magnesium Oil Supplement. Oh, you can actually get the supplement itself for a pledge of $100. But, once again, with the requisite disclaimer. Please conduct your further research and fully inform your physician of your intention to alter your magnesium intake. So, what else have we got here? I.O. USA. Oh, isn't that funny? One Nation Under Stress in Debt. Wake up, America. We're on the brink of financial meltdown. I.O. On the brink? I think we're already there. I.O. USA boldly examines the rapidly growing national debt and the consequences for the United States and its citizens. America must mend its spendthrift ways or face an economic disaster of epic proportions. DVD, $125. Okay, haven't seen it, can't judge. But this I can judge. This one is snake oil. Nanothermite. Stephen Jones, PhD. This DVD contains an illustrated lecture given in Sacramento on April 30th, 2009, followed by Q&A and three bonus tracks. Steve Jones, PhD, physics professor emeritus, Brigham Young University, brilliantly presents his carefully researched discoveries made as he, as he analyzed the dust from the World Trade Center buildings, which collapsed on 9/11 2001. Yeah, I think we heard that. Jones discusses a new peer-reviewed journal article, the result of 18 months of intensive scientific collaboration. This is the loaded gun of 9/11. Well, I think they mean the smoking gun of 9/11, not the loaded gun of 9/11. And, you know, that peer-reviewed journal is, you know, it's one of these, it just exists on the internet. It's not a legitimate, scientific peer-reviewed journal. It's one of these, you know, pseudo-internet, pseudo-journals. I mean, there wasn't any nanothermite that brought down the World Trade Center, okay? I mean, and then we keep going with, 9/11, the myth and the reality, David Ray Griffith. More snake oil. I'm sorry, it's snake oil. And then 9/11, Time for a Second Look by David Ray Griffin. More snake oil. The New American Century DVD. The New American Century presents the historical, philosophical, economic, and political background, some of which is totally unknown to the public, that lend support to the accusation that the 9/11 terrorist attacks, quote unquote, were in fact an inside job. Massimo Mazzucco is an Italian filmmaker who has lately turned to documentaries in digital form, blah, blah. Okay, now, there really was a project, and continues to exist, I suppose, this project for the New American Century, which is, you know, these hubristic neocons with these visions of remaking the world, and they really are sinister. But, no, I'm sorry, they didn't blow up the World Trade Center. And, in fact, a lot of all this, you know, conspiracy theorizing about how the, you know, these sinister neocons have really, you know, seized control of American foreign policy and are contorting it in the interest of Israel smacks a little bit of anti-Semitism. Sorry, it does. And then moving further out into the realm of conspiranoia, Camp FEMA DVD. Recent legislation attempting to legitimize the use of internment camps to detain U.S. citizens in the event of an uprising or civil unrest has many people asking what nation they live in. All right, I'd like to know what legislation they're talking about, because I follow this very closely and there hasn't been any such legislation. Okay. In a country born out of political dissent, we watch as our leaders in Washington slowly pass bills that label ordinary Americans as thought criminals and potential domestic terrorists for simply questioning the actions of their government. We see third-party candidates and their impassioned supporters listed in secret government reports. We call their allegiance into question and brand them as fanatics and extremists. How is the government, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, all right. Once again, there's a legitimate critique here, and certainly, you know, every government since FDR has drawn up, you know, plans for martial law. You know, I mean, unfortunately, much of the paranoia about this sort of thing is coming out of the radical right, and I can tell you just from their rhetoric that this DVD is coming out of the radical right. The same way, how are they, as the government, going to show, how has our government shown that they will deal with these people who they call fanatics and extremists? The same way every other totalitarian regime throughout history marginalized their activists and locked them up. Every other totalitarian regime? I'm not quite sure we're living in a totalitarian regime, okay? I don't think I'll be talking in front of this microphone right now if we lived under a totalitarian regime, okay? Sorry, guys. But, you know, words have meaning. Sorry, you know. And, you know, the whole FEMA thing, well, you know, FEMA is kind of a joke these days, all right? FEMA was back in the Reagan administration, was actually entrusted with drawing up these plans for instating martial law in the event of a U.S. invasion of Central America, sparking a massive exodus of refugees across the southwest border, et cetera. You know, that plan really was drawn up by the Federal Emergency Management Agency with Oliver North back in the 1980s. But the Homeland Security Department has taken over all that stuff, so they're around 25 years behind the times if they're still harping on FEMA. All right. Natural Medicine, A Survivor's Guide. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Okay. Well, let's see. Can I get... It's now 4:35 in the morning. I'm sorry. No, it's not 4:35 in the morning. It's the tally stands at 4:35. But it's 1:16 in the morning. So that means in 15 minutes we have to double the tally. That's not going to be easy. But I'm going to appeal to you as to why you should do so. Let me see if I can get through what I wanted to read in 15 minutes. Can I get through what I wanted to read in 15 minutes? What I wanted to read is a dissent, both a dissent from the premium-centric method of fundraising, which has become the norm at WBAI, as well as an appeal to you, the listeners, to support WBAI. And rather than, doing so in my own words, which can be dismissed as merely, oh, that crank Weinberg, I'm going to do it in the words of somebody who spoke in the past tense, because unfortunately he is no longer with us, with great moral authority, particularly on the question of the theory of listener-sponsored radio. And I refer, of course, to the author of an essay of that name, one Lewis Hill, the founder of the Pacifica Network. Wrote this essay in 1951, and there is a brief biographical note. While studying at Stanford University in 1937, Lew Hill became interested in the ideas of the Quakers and became a pacifist. When he was drafted in 1941, he registered as a conscientious objector. In 1945, Hill resigned from his job as a Washington, D.C. correspondent and moved to California, where he founded the Pacifica Foundation. He served as Pacifica's head until he died in 1957. And I will add, of course, that he founded the what was then Pacifica's flagship station, KPFA, in Berkeley, which became the prototype for the other stations of the Pacifica Network, including the one I am speaking over right now, WBAI, which I would like to think is now the flagship station of the network, and became also the prototype for public radio generally. Listener sponsorship is an answer to the practical problem of getting better radio programs and keeping them. But it involves, as a theory of radio, an analysis of the problem as well as an answer to it. The theory advances not only an economic innovation for broadcasting, but an interpretation of the facts of life in American radio. And actually, it begins in a concern with some of the facts of life in general. I imagine we can agree that if a sound is worth passing through the magnificent apparatus of a microphone, a transmitter, and your receiving set, it ought to convey some meaningful intelligence. There are innumerable ways of wasting time and generating nonsense, and there are also uncounted ways of making money, many of which may be pursued in broad daylight. But the elaborate machinery and peculiar intimacy of the radio medium have better and more basic uses. The theory I want to discuss rests on two particular assumptions. First, that radio can and should be used for significant communication and art. And second, that since broadcasting is an act of communication, it ought to be subject to the same aesthetic and ethical principles as we apply to any communicative act, including the most personal. Of course, we know that in American radio, many obstacles stand in the way of these principles. When I have examined some of these obstacles, I shall try to indicate briefly how listener sponsorship offers a means of surmounting them. 212-209-2950. What does stand in the way? When we ask this question, we usually think at once of the advertiser or of the mass audience. We feel that one or both of these demonological figures must account for the mediocrity and exploitation which on the whole signify radio in the United States. And since, as we know, no one can reform the advertiser or confer with the inscrutable mass, we are more or less accustomed to thinking of improvement as utopian. We seem generally to ignore, when we criticize radio, the moment and situation in which someone actually broadcasts. I refer to the person who actually opens his mouth or plays his fiddle. I mean to include also the individual who holds the stopwatch, the one who writes the script, and perhaps the man who controls the switch. And I am definitely referring to these individuals as individuals, for after all, willing or not, they have that dimension. Now, these are the people who actually start the production that comes out the other end. Even if someone else has decided why there should be a broadcast and what should be in it, these are the people who make it. Yet we never hear these people mentioned in any serious social or moral criticism of American radio. They do not appear in the demonologies of the advertiser and the mass. They constitute most of the radio industry, but are perhaps the last people we would think of in trying to place the fundamental responsibility for what radio does. Well, this has changed, actually, a little bit, I would say, since 1951, because certainly I would say that figures like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh have entered our demonology in recent years. But most of what he says in this issue still holds, in this essay still holds, very, very true. This curious fact reveals more about the problem than any number of surveys of public taste and advertising venality. And this is the point at which our theory has to begin. We start with the forgotten man of broadcasting, the man who broadcasts. Let me instance the announcer. Not only to seize the simplest case, but because he will serve as the gross symbol for the writer, the musician, and all who try to make a living in the program end of radio. You will recall without difficulty, I hope, this fellow's nightly solicitude toward your internal organs. In his baritone way, he makes a claim on your attention and faith which few of your closest friends would venture. I know of no better explanation of this man's relation to you, to his utterances, his job, and his industry, than one of the time-honored audition tests given to applicants for announcing jobs at certain of the networks. The test consists of three or four paragraphs minutely constructed to avoid conveying any meaning. The words are familiar, and every sentence is grammatically sound, but the text is gibberish. The applicant is required to read this text in different voices, as though it meant different things, with solemnity and heavy sincerity, with lighthearted humor, and of course, with punch. If his judges award him the job and turn him loose on you, he has succeeded on account of his extraordinary skill in simulating emotions, intentions, and beliefs which he does not possess. In fact, the test was especially designed to assure that nothing in the announcer's mind, except the sound of his voice, no comprehension, no value, no choice, and above all, no sense of responsibility, could possibly enter into what he has said or what he sounded like. This is the criterion of his job. The significance of this situation is strangely neglected, as I have said, although the commonplaces of industrial life that best explain it are much discussed. We all know, for example, that the purpose of commercial radio is to induce mass sales. For mass sales, there must be a mass norm, and the activity must be conducted as nearly as possible without risk of departure from the norm. But art and the communication of ideas, as most of us also appreciate, are risky affairs, for it can never be predicted in those activities just when the purely individual and abnormal may assert itself. Indeed, to get any real art or any significant communication, one must rely entirely on individuals and must resign himself to accept not only their uniqueness, but the possibility that the individual may at any time fail. By suppressing the individual, the unique, the industry reduces the risk of failure or abnormality and assures itself a standard product for mass consumption. So, it's up to you people. Am I going to fail tonight? Well, we're up to $770, not a total failure. 212-209-2950. We all know these commonplaces, but it is truly staggering to contemplate what they imply and cause in American radio. Should you inquire why there is no affinity between the serious arts and radio, you will find that this is the reason. America is well supplied with remarkably talented writers, musicians, philosophers, and scientists whose work will survive for some centuries. Such people have no relation whatever to our greatest communication medium. I have been describing a fact at the level of the industry staff. It is actually so notorious in the whole tradition and atmosphere of our radio that it precludes anyone of serious talent and reasonable sanity from offering material for broadcast, much less joining a staff. The country's best minds, like one mind, shun the medium unless the possessor of one happens to be running for office. Yet if we want an improvement in radio worth the trouble, it is these people whose talent the medium must attract. The basic situation of broadcasting must be such that artists and thinkers have a place to work with freedom. Short of this, the suffering listener has no out. So he's actually predicting the rise of public broadcasting, which, of course, you know, he pioneered back in 1951 when he wrote this essay. It may be clearer why I indicated at the outset that listener sponsorship involves some basic concerns. This is the first problem it sets out to solve, to give the genuine artist and thinker a possible, even a desirable, place to work in radio. Well, I'd like to think that I'm a genuine artist and thinker, or at least a thinker. 212-209-2950. Unfortunately, it will not do to go halfway in the effort. Many have tried. The story of American radio is sprinkled with episodes in which some ambitious producer, momentarily out of touch with reality, has tried. These episodes remind me of someone's recent comment about purchasing a house under the Federal Housing Administration. This, he explains, is a system which makes it possible to convert an imaginary equity into a vested illusion. There are still in the industry many a frustrated idealist, many an embittered artist, whose last efforts foundered in the sales department, but who hope someday to own a program. Since our first object is to avoid that chronic industrial frustration, we have to give a somewhat elementary interpretation to the idea of freedom in radio. The answer of the KPFA project on this point is not necessarily the only good answer, but it is explicit. It requires that the people who actually do the broadcasting should also be responsible for what and why they broadcast. In short, they must control the policy which determines their actions. If I may, I will emphasize that neither a public be damned nor a down with commerce attitude enters into this formulation. The problem was, you remember, not whether you as a listener should choose what you like or agree with, as obviously you should and do, but how to get some genuinely significant choices before you. Radio, which aims to do that, must express what its practitioners believe to be real, good, beautiful, and so forth, what they believe is truly at stake in the assertion of such values. For better or worse, these are matters like the nature of the deity, which cannot be determined by majority vote or sales curve. Either some particular person makes up his mind about these things and learns to express them for himself, or we have no values or no significant expression of them. Since values and expressions as fundamental as...
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.